Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Job never did that, but I know a few other people that have. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I would like to preach to you on this topic. It's all about who. And they're going to pray for us and ask the Lord to be with us this morning.
Lord, we ask that you be in this place, God. Lord, that you would use Pastor to preach the word, God. Lord, that we've come in here with an open ear and an open heart, God, to take this word in, Lord, and apply it to our lives, God. Thankful, God, for what you're doing in this place and what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. When we pray, I hope that you pray and ask the Lord to open up your spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit would have to say to you today. Always, that should be our prayer. Anyway, I read this text because I felt like it was important leading into our next text, Brad, which will be in the Amplified in Philippians. It was just a little more simple, but the events at hand are not overly complicated. God was having a meeting. Satan showed up, because Satan shows up at Holy Ghost meetings. I got news for you. Satan will sit right beside you in church. I got news for you. The Lord questioned him, and he bragged and he boasted about all of the havoc that he was wreaking all over the world. And so the Lord just calls out one faithful man and reminds Satan of him. And Satan says to him, yeah, that's only because you have protected him. It's only because you have built a covering and a hedge about him. He says, but you touch that. He said, you start to take away things from him, and he'll curse you to your face. And as I said, I have been privy to many people over the years that have faulted God and blamed God when things didn't go the way they wanted it to go, and they've got offended at God, and they have backslidden, and they've walked away from God because of it. Because when God did not answer their prayers, they deemed God unfit of their service, and they abdicated. Now we take you to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And we'll read a few verses, and then we'll comment, and then we'll jump down to verse 18, Brad. Chapter 1, verse 12, it reads this way in the Amplified. Now, I want you to know, believers, that what has happened to me, speaking of his imprisonment, has actually served to advance the gospel or the good news regarding salvation. My imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become common knowledge throughout the whole Praetorian, the Imperial Guard, and to everyone else. Or I believe that it says it's been manifest throughout all the house of the, how's it reading the King James? Who is the King James? All the palace, and throughout all the land. Because of my chains, he says, most of the brothers, or most of the other apostles or the preachers and ministers. How is it reading the King James? Okay, so it's the same thing. All right. Have renewed confidence in the Lord. and have far more courage to speak, or boldness, as it says, the word of God without fear. Now, I've had these three verses in my notes for probably a couple years. And I've wanted to preach them, but I haven't had the opportunity. And I began to feel stirred about them this week. And as I was speaking to somebody, I had already purposed in my heart that I was probably going to preach from this text, but I wanted to make sure it was applicable. And I'll stand here before you today to tell you that it is. And I want to comment to you exactly what Paul is saying here. He says, I want you to know that what's happened to me has served to the advancement of the gospel. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but when Paul had endured all the things that he had endured from beaten many times and imprisoned and shipwrecked and left for dead and all of those things, he sits there in his cell writing this letter to the church at Philippi, and he says, I need you to understand something. This has all been to the benefit of the kingdom of God. He doesn't say, oh, pray for me that God will get me out of here. I don't know why God is doing this to me. I don't understand what God is doing. Why would God let me go through this? He says it has furthered and advanced the kingdom. And then he says, my imprisonment or my bonds, as it says in the King James, he says it has caused, or it has been made known throughout all the palace and throughout all the land beyond the palace. What has been made known? Not the fact that Paul was in prison, but it was made known how Paul was handling his prison sentence. It was made known that Paul was not offended at God, and Paul was not writing a sad story to the church at Philippi, but it was made known that Paul said, this is a good thing. Maybe not for me per se, but it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. And that's why Paul was able to write that it further advanced the kingdom. And then Paul's stance, his position, it was echoed throughout the palace and then throughout the land. Word spread. You don't know that people talk, do you? People talk. Listen, you don't ever have to sit in church and say, did you tell them what I said? People talk. Even if nobody said it, people talk. People love to talk. They love to sit in Circle K and sip on their coffee and say, did you hear about John and Charity? No, what happened? And then it's on. They talk. I want to tell you something else they talk about. They talk about things that are out of the ordinary. This is another thought that I had. I jotted down in my, well, jotted down is an improper word. I typed down in my iPad just not long ago. And that was people are drawn. They're drawn to the mysticism and the unknown of things. That's why people like haunted houses and horror. They like to be shocked and scared. I don't understand it, but they do. But they also like the mysteries and they like the unknown, and people like to dive into theories and all that stuff because it fascinates people. What was happening to Paul obviously became a fascinating topic because most people don't celebrate their imprisonment. Now hear me in what I've got to say to you today. Most people don't celebrate the trial in their life. There's a reason Paul wrote a lot about these types of things. There's a reason he said tribulation. He said, I rejoice in tribulation. Now we don't. My God, we have a bad hair day and we blame God. We can't go to the restaurant and buy steak and we blame God. We can't live the life that we want and we blame God. God stands between me and what I want. God's just a tyrant. It's all about rules. Because you're like a child and you don't like rules still. But I got news for you. The Bible's full of rules whether you like it or not. He said you must be born again. You don't like that rule? Well, you can choose your eternity. Well, actually, you can't. It's already been made for you. You must be. You must be. You must. So there are some rules in the gospel. Now, the good thing about it is, I don't want to get off track, but God will let you violate the rules. You just have to deal with the consequences. That's all. So anyway, let me get back on base. So this word begins to spread because people are fascinated. How's this guy? How's he? I don't know. What was he doing? I mean, maybe he was still singing songs at the midnight hour, possibly. I would be hard-pressed to believe that Paul only sang one time at the midnight hour in prison. I would have to believe that it became a tradition of Paul's. It became a lifestyle. Because Christianity is not what you do today or tomorrow or this time or that. It's a lifestyle. And so how you handle one thing is how you handle everything. If you lose control of yourself because you get a flat tire, you lose control of yourself if your fingernail breaks. And you lose control if your world seems to be crumbling around you and God's not popping in and fixing all of our messes. It's a lifestyle. So with Paul, it had to have been a lifestyle. And so I've got to believe that Paul began to sing songs all throughout. And it echoed throughout those old dungeon cells. And his whether he could sing well or not, I don't have a clue. But it must have bounced and reverberated off of the stone walls. How great is our God? How great is our God? And you got other people sitting there in their shackles and like, my God, man, what do you mean great? Look at us. Look at us. And so it began to spread throughout all the land. And then Paul takes pride. He said, because I have handled this with dignity, he said, others have been strengthened because of it. He said, others have become emboldened because of it. He said, they now preach without fear of being imprisoned. And they now preach without fear of being arrested. I don't know what it is about what I've done, but if it brings encouragement to a fellow laborer in the kingdom, then that's okay to me. Because Paul lived his life saying, it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. And if the kingdom is being advanced based off of my situation, then blessed be the name of the Lord. A commentator said, we must never love our friends the less for the ill treatment which our enemies give us. Meaning, if I give my life for this thing, it's because I love people. I'm not going to allow the ill treatment of the world to alter my love of people. I will not allow it to alter my love of the gospel. Are you with me? Love is an action. Now, when I wrote that, I'm like, oh my God, every dingbat out there is going to be like, love's not an action, love's a feeling, it's an emotion. Really? No greater love hath this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. Sounds like an action to me. I love it when I have smart moments. Paul said, I'm not going to regress because of my bonds. Because it will affect those that I love. Here's an example for you. We live in a very complicated time because we're told to say everything and anything, no matter what. Express ourselves. That's become a disaster. Have you ever went home and your wife said, what's wrong? And you said, nothing. Anybody ever had that happen? Okay, I got a question for you. Now, you're allowed to be honest here. It's okay, even if you lied. Have you ever stuck to that story? Nothing? You just kept lying? Raise your hand. Okay. Some of y'all lost your manlyhood in the process. Do you know why we stick to that story? Because we don't want to overburden or overwhelm sometimes the ones that we love. If I've got to carry this cross alone, I'll carry it alone. Because if I pass this cross on to her, which was not her cross to carry, it may overwhelm her. So I learned to carry some things all by myself. All by myself. Don't want to be. Yeah, I learned to carry things all by myself. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not criticizing or second guessing, but there are many things that I will not share with my wife. Not because I keep secrets from her, because I don't want her carrying that, because it's my load to carry. It's my burden. And I know women, and I know they would rather you share that because they love you, and that's wonderful. But I'm still not going to take the cross off of my back and place it on yours, because my shoulders as a male might be a little broader than yours. That's not a statement against you. Well, where we can do with it, what you can do. You can't do what a man can do. You're not built like men. And that's what Paul was saying. He was saying, I'm not going to take my cross and I'm not going to pass it on to the other preachers that are still preaching the gospel that are not locked up. What I've got to do is make sure they have the boldness and the encouragement to do what I am unable to do right now. So Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, and he said, I want you to know something. What's happened to me has only advanced the kingdom of God. And what's happened to me has reverberated throughout the land. And I've heard that some preachers now are preaching what they wouldn't preach before because they become emboldened because of what I have gone through. That's powerful. That's how you spread the gospel. It's not done by words. It's done by action. Because sometimes, as I told a dear brother this week, you can't speak. Sometimes, listen to me, they didn't want to hear Paul. That's why they put him in prison. But God, because of Paul's steadfastness and because Paul put first the kingdom, God now put the words in other preachers' mouths to get that word out. What am I saying to you? You might not be able to reach your family, but if you stay faithful to God, somebody else will become emboldened because of that, and they'll become a voice to the ones that you love, and they'll say what you can't say. Paul took careful consideration to make sure that those whom he preached to would not become offended because of his circumstances. You got to be careful. You don't want to turn your children off of God. You want to turn them on from God, onto God. If you're dying inside, you should go home and tell your children, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you feel like God ain't talked to you in 49 years, you should go home and say, son, you make sure you talk to the Lord. He'll talk back to you. You make sure you cry out to him when you feel empty and when you feel in need. God will be certain to respond. Don't tell them how long you've been in the wilderness. They don't need to hear that junk. They only need to hear your encouragement. They need to hear the power of your words. They need to hear your faith. And speaking of faith, faith does not die with the circumstance. Well, I had faith, Pastor, nothing changed. You didn't have faith. Faith is not altered by the situation. Faith is faith. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, great. My faith in the Lord remains steadfast until the end. That's what faith is. Faith does not change because my prayers aren't being answered. Not true faith. Not true faith. Faith is blind. That means if I don't see the answer, if I see the answer, it's as if I still don't see anything because faith is blind. That's faith. Verse 18, Paul goes on. He says, what then? He said, like, what does it matter? So long as in every way, whether in pretense, whether for self-promotion or in all honesty, to spread truth, Christ is being preached. And in this, I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. He said, what's it matter if I'm preaching or if they're preaching? As long as somebody's preaching. That's what Paul took rejoiced in, because it wasn't about Paul. It was about the kingdom. For I know with confidence that this will turn out for my deliverance and spiritual well-being through your prayers and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which upholds me. It is my own eager expectation and hope that, looking towards the future, I will not disgrace myself nor be ashamed in anything, but that with courage and the utmost freedom of speech, even now as always, Christ will be magnified and exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Let me translate that in case you missed it. Paul said, God will get glory, whether he gets glory in my life or he gets glory in my death. God's going to get it. It doesn't matter how it comes, as long as God gets glory. The true heartbeat of every child of God should be that God is glorified in your life. The true heartbeat of every Christian should be that God's will is done. It should be that the kingdom is being advanced. And when our focus is where it should be, we are not altered and we are not discouraged and we are not deprived because of the situation in my life at the moment. But I understand that if God wanted, he could shake those prison cells and let me out. How do I know? Because he's done it before. If God isn't, he's got a reason for not doing it. We have got to learn to be more focused on the kingdom of God and not my kingdom. It's all about who. Is it about you and what you want? Or is it about the kingdom of, well, how's God getting glory in this? I don't know, but ask him. Because I can assure you, he could alter your situation in a moment if he wants to. If God's glory only comes through my humbleness, then it's good enough. Because God needs humble preachers and humble teachers, not arrogant and self-righteous ones. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. If, however, it is to be life here, and I am to go on living, this will mean useful and productive service for me, so I do not know which I choose if I'm given that choice. Paul said, well, if they let me out, I'm stuck in this world. While I'm stuck in this world, though, I'll do something to advance the kingdom. But if I die, I gain eternity. And suppose I'd love to be out of here and over there, but I love people, so I'd rather maybe be here still for a little while longer. I'm just not really sure what to do. So regardless, all that matters is whatever happens, God gets glory in it. That was Paul's, that was his chant. That was his war cry. Because for Paul, it was all about him, period. Now let me just talk just for a few moments, if I may. Our generation appears to have become very spoiled in our comforts. I got news for you, and you can take this however you want, but it is a prophetic word, and that is America is changing and it's not going back. It will not be the way it was. You know why it will not be the way it was? Because God has begun to shake things. And God has begun to shake because God is tired of the lethargy. God is tired of of the apostasy. God is tired of the apathy. God is tired of all of it. And so God has begun to separate his church. He has begun to reveal the true nature of every child of God. Now, do you know why you got to hear what I'm telling you this morning? Because some of you, God is proving you even now. God is trying to reveal some things. He's trying to reveal some true nature and some true character. And that's why you must walk some of the roads that you have to walk. God knows how to do what he does best. Now, I know fully well that a spoiled child doesn't know he's spoiled. He's used to just used to getting what he wants. That's it. Now, if I haven't lost you yet, can you just ponder that for a second? He's used to getting what he wants. Some people have the luxury, if they want to go out and buy something tomorrow, they go out and buy it. Some people don't have that luxury. If you have that luxury and you enjoy it, and by and large, if you want something, you go get it. What would happen to you if that all changed tomorrow? Would you become offended at God? Would you stop going to church? The worst one I've ever heard. My pastor, I won't be there today. I'm just going through some things. Well, that's very intelligent. Stay home and be depressed. What a great idea. I don't know why I haven't thought about that years ago. I did not know sitting there and being depressed and contemplating suicide was the answer to all my problems. Now, I don't care if that sounds harsh or not. That's what people do. Why? Could it be because we're more spoiled than what we realize we are? And the moment things just don't go the way we want them to go. Jerome, you got this coming, bro. Come here. I want you to lay down that platform on your back, and I want you to kick your feet and stomp your hands and get mad. Go right there where they can see you. Go ahead. Lay down. Come on. Kick, stomp. You're mad. Look at that. That's right. Come on. Nicole, why are you taking your ring off? That's exactly right. You're embarrassing us both. Get up. I don't do that, really. I'm not going to church. No, I'm not standing. I don't have to stand. You can't tell me to lift my hands if I don't want to lift my hands. Oh, here we go. Oh, we need money, 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 money. I'm not supporting some stupid trunk or treat. Now, I'm not going to cleaning. They can have other people clean. And the list goes on. Why? Because things aren't going my way. And when things don't go my way, sometimes I have temper tantrum. Many have said to me over the years, I look to the Lord, but they stop looking when their answer doesn't come. We lose faith throughout the process. But as I have already said, true faith does not expire without the desired outcome. True faith continues whether you're outside preaching or you're in the prison praying. True faith remains steadfast. But you cannot really have true faith until it becomes all about him. First commandment. Anybody want to share it? With all your heart. But number two. Number three. I don't remember that's mixed in, no graven image or any likeness thereof. God wants our relationship to be built first and foremost of everything must be about him. Everything. And when my focus and my heart is right, everything else falls into place. It's talking to my wife the other day, and I said, you know, I said, this thought of first the kingdom has just, it's kind of echoed through my mind over the last week and a half. I said, and it's just over and like grind first, first, first. What does that mean? What does first mean? Well, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, first is first. So if I say the first person up here gets $100. That didn't work out too well. Go sit back down for a second. You got any cash in your purse? We don't have cash. Who has $20? I need a $20 bill. Sister Pat, raise her hand. Brother Joe's coming. You're not going to get it back. I'm just going to warn you. I hope you put more than that in the offering. I'm just kidding with you. Now, the first person up here gives us $20. Thank Brother Joe. I wasn't serious. I was saying you weren't getting it back. If you need it. There you go. There you go. Now, here's my problem. See, some of y'all doubted me, but typically you'd have 10 people running up. And one person might be one step above the other. But first is first. First is first. Now, I know we've changed the rules. Am I boring you? We've changed the rules, and everybody has to get a prize. I feel sorry for them. Oh, look at their little face. I feel sorry for them. And so we raise this generation that gets offended at God when they don't get a prize too. How come God gave him that, and I don't have it? Oh, that's why I don't go to church, because God's a God of favoritism, because God always does for other people, and God never done for me. Because nobody ever taught them there's value in being first. And the reason the Bible says put first the kingdom. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you, some of you, why you do not have an answer to your prayers. Because you're not putting first the kingdom. Now, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. But when you start putting first the kingdom. My wife talked to me about family. Well, what do you do when they get mad? You do nothing. It's not my job to make sure my family's happy with my walk with God. But they'll get upset at me. They'll have to get over it. What are you going to do? You're going to compromise your walk with God because your family gets offended at you? What I'm telling you is there's a reason the Bible says put first the kingdom. There's a reason the scripture tells us that you have to forsake some of those closest. It's not that you want to, but the only alternative is compromising everything. I'm not saying it has to always be church and all. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am saying is they need to understand first the kingdom. First the kingdom. First the kingdom. First. Listen, this is not my rule. I didn't write it for PCC. I'm telling you what the scripture says. It says, put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added thereunto you. Listen, God will reach those that you can't reach, and you won't reach them by missing Sunday service to go to their party, but you'll reach them by putting God first. 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 That's a fact. I mean, what does first mean? Now, I'm going to show you how God works. Nobody in this church except Sister Chantel knew what my title was, what I was preaching. Brother Jerry gets up and he prays and he said, Lord, I must increase and you must decrease. And then Brother Hector gets up and he begins to read his scripture and says, every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That means when you no longer put God first and you start putting your desires ahead of God's, it begins to pull you away from God. But when I put God first, when I eschew evil as Job did,
And when I begin to put the things of God first and the kingdom of God first, when I begin to act like Paul and I put the kingdom of God first, I'm not going to let anybody know what I'm going through, because I need them to be encouraged. I don't want them to be offended at God. I don't want them to become upset at God because of what I'm going through. I want them to know that if God's kingdom is being advanced through my situation, then blessed be the name of the Lord. Give me strength, God, to get through it. That's the only thing that matters. But these men, they got up and they preached. Before I preached, I must increase, or I must decrease. I must decrease and he must increase. He must be first. His will must go above my will. His ways must go in front of my ways. His wishes must be before my wishes. That is how I become a productive child in the kingdom of God. And that is how God uses me first. So, I want you to ask yourself a question this morning. I hope I haven't gone too long. How do you know where you stand? Because all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. So everything you're doing in your mind and your eyes is right. But it's not. Because everybody's ways can't be right and God's ways be right too. The scripture becomes our measuring stick. So how do I know? I'm going to show you. Number one, you have to inspect your foundation. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm back to King James. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. Just a couple verses. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. There's the Apostle Paul speaking. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I have a question for you. Are you very careful? This is a question. Are you very careful and calculated with every decision that you make? Because every decision you make is laying one more block upon the foundation that Paul built, that he laid. And he said, I'm as a wise master builder. God has given me the keys. He's given me the wisdom to lay this foundation. He said, so you be careful. Everybody beyond me, be careful. Be cautious. Don't be reckless. Don't disregard. I don't believe that. Listen to me. Can I make one like really ugly, brazen statement? You ought to just shut your mouth and pray and see what God says, not what I don't believe. Really, I'm being honest. I'm not trying to be cruel. Wise man shutteth his lips. One mouth, two eyes, for a reason. God wants you to see more than you speak. Two ears, and wants you to listen more than you speak. It's truth. God's very calculated in what he does. It would be funny if we had 2 mouths, you could eat more. Get done with dinner faster. He said, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, meaning if you build with worldly things, if you try to build your walk with God based off of worldliness and based off of fun and all these sensual things, he said, every man's work shall be made manifest. It will be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I have a principle that I live by. As a pastor of this church, every time if I begin to see a decrease in attendance, I start looking at myself first. God, have I laid some blocks that should not be laid? Have I become careless in laying those blocks? That's what I always do. And it always drives me to the same place, the prayer room. Because it's there It's I feel the Holy Ghost. It's there that I can say, God, maybe I haven't talked to you enough. Maybe I begin to make some of my own decisions, and they were not decisions that were inspired by heaven because I wasn't listening. Because I've been too busy, and God understands. But you know, when you're building something, if you've ever built, you understand it's very important how you lay that foundation. Because everything after that rests upon it. Everything. And then, as they learned sadly in Florida just a few months back, when invasive things begin to invade the environment and begin to eat away at and corrode away the foundation, every single day people walked in and out of that apartment building and nobody was worried about the foundation. It could have been that day somebody came home and hung their new curtains. Oh, it looks so nice. It could have been that day the carpet layers came in to put new carpet or new laminate flooring down. Oh, I've waited all years. I'm so happy. I love it. And down below, the foundation was rotting away, as they called it, a ticking time bomb. And then at any given moment, their works were made manifest and they were revealed and it began to crumble. One lady was talking to her husband, and as she looked, she said, the pool just disappeared. And then the phone went dead as the building began to collapse. I have a question for you. How's your marriage? This is not criticism. This is for you to look at and realize if it's not healthy, that doesn't mean without problems. But if it's not healthy, that means you did something to the foundation. That means somewhere along the line, you messed with what Paul laid. And you weren't careful enough with it. Brother Frank and Sister Susan learned several years ago that when something's wrong with the foundation, you got to go dig the whole thing out and you got to fix it. Because if not, the whole structure is going to fall in. But how'd that start, Brother Frank? I remember when I was over your house. There's crack all along the foundation there. I never thought it would start coming in. A crack matters. Oh, God, don't care about that. Oh, this doesn't matter. And all the while, the crack gets bigger. And while you're sleeping at night, the crack moves a little farther. And you get up and you go to work next day and you got your plans and the crack comes farther. And one day it's as if a bomb went off in your life and everything come crashing down. That is only because something in the foundation was not laid properly. You may have thought you did. How do I know? Number one, is your life, your situation, your circumstance right now? You might be happily engaged. There's several of you out there. Ooh, you might be happily married. Ooh. I got a question for you. Regardless of how happy you are, is your life bringing glory to God? Well, yeah. Well, how do you know? I'm not asking you just to answer yes. Paul was very calculated. He said, my imprisonment is bringing glory to God. How do I know this? Because it's been echoed throughout all the palace and all the land. And I have now got word back that the preachers have become inspired and encouraged. And they're preaching with boldness and fear. They're not worried about offending people. And they're not worried about who's going to get offended. And they're not making excuses on why they can't go to church and preach today. No, they preach with more boldness and without fear. Because Paul's life, his situation, his circumstance, no matter how ugly it was, it still brought glory to God. And that's what Paul was after. If you can say, no, it's not. Listen, I'm done. I'm finishing. I'm not talking about what people see. I'm talking about what goes on behind the scenes. I'm talking about what goes on in private. I'm talking about what nobody else knows. Is that bringing glory to God? I'm asking you because I don't know. Because it's your secret life. Is it bringing glory to God? And if you can be honest within yourself and say, you know what, it isn't. I don't know how God's getting glory out of this. And today I'm preaching to you. I'm asking you, it's all about who. When that foundation begins to come down, when your world begins to come apart, it stitches, the stitches. It's because something in the foundation was not laid the way Paul said to lay it. But when we are as Paul, when our bonds are made manifest throughout all the land, and others are becoming bolder in their walk with God because of your situation, then you can rejoice. Am I boring you? I'm about done. Then you can rejoice. Because when I stand, Brother Johnny, before the Lord, I'm not going to have anybody to stand beside me. Nobody, not even my wife. Now, I know I'm going to offend some of y'all, but the Bible says in heaven there is no marrying and giving in marriage, just for the record. That's why till death do we part, because when you die, it's over. I know I just offended a whole bunch of people now. Oh, you can put your pouty lip out, Kristen. In a couple years, you'll be like, thank you, Jesus. It'll be a couple years, that's all. It's quicker for some. What was I saying? Stand all by myself. And the only words that will matter on that day, the only words will be the words that come out of that throne of glory. I'm not convinced I'll see nothing but bright light, feeling glory throughout my glorified body. And those words will come out as thunder and lightning. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Paul understood this, Brother Jerry. He understood it as he sat there in prison and he contemplated his next move. If Paul had any humanity in him, and I've got to believe that he did, he began to write and he probably started, oh, brethren, pray for me. It's been not been easy. They dragged me out every day at noon and they beat me. And then he said, no, what am I doing? I can't put that cross on them. And then he said, brethren, I want you to know what's happening to me in here is furthering the kingdom of God. And when they got that letter, Brother Jerome, and they began to read, they felt good because even though Paul was in prison, they knew that Paul wasn't discouraged and Paul wasn't defeated and Paul wasn't faulting God and Paul wasn't giving up. Come on, somebody. Have faith today and don't let your faith die with your circumstance. Would you stand with me right now? It is all easy to say until you're there. I know that. For each one of us, we all will have a moment or moments in our life that was at that time the hardest moment of our life. I'm not talking about worldliness. I'm talking about relating to your walk with God. It could have been something that happened that wounded you so deeply you have never been right with God since. You can put on your pretty little dress and you can put on a smile and you can curl your hair. It does not mean you're right with God. You can put on a nice suit and tie. It does not mean your heart is right with God. Because somewhere along the line, your foundation fell apart. It could be because you lost somebody and you've never recovered. You've never stopped blaming God. I know people like that. Became offended at God. Because, if we can just be honest, because it wasn't about God, it was about what you wanted. And that's understandable, but that's not kingdom-minded. But when I'm kingdom-minded, it can hurt. I can weep. But I understand weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Paul understood that too. He understood whether it's I die in here and I get to be with the Lord, or whether I get dismissed and I get to go out and preach some more. He says, all the same if it brings glory to God. Here's how I want to close today. If you can be honest with yourself, you got to be honest. Pride has no place with honesty. And you can say, I'm not quite certain that it's been all about Him. It's possible that I've made it about me. There's no shame in that. You're a human being. We all stray from time to time. It might just be that the situation that you're in right now has begun to rock you. It's begun to cause you to be frustrated, and you're like, God, I'm trying, but why aren't you answering? Why aren't you hearing me? I assure you, God hears you. He heard you from the very moment you started praying and opened your mouth. But He has a reason, and His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are above ours. So we can't understand the mind of God. But what I can do is this. I can say, God, from today on, I want my life and my circumstance and my situation to bring glory and to honor to the kingdom. I want it to advance the kingdom. I want others to be encouraged by my steadfastness. I want them to look at me and say, my God, if He can go through that, I can go through this. If she can endure that, I can endure this. That's what I want. That's when God gets glory from it. Come on, somebody. If God has talked to your heart, why don't you make your way to the altar this morning as they begin to sing? And why don't you bless His name today? Why don't you do what Paul would have done? You can say, what would Paul have done in this situation? I can tell you what Paul would have done. He'd have said, let it bring glory to God somehow. I don't know how God gets glory out of it. But if He does, that's all that matters. God takes note of it. God knows your plight. Would you sing? Honest with yourself. Look at your foundation right now. Look at your foundation. Can you say, yes, God, it needs some repairs. It needs some repairs. I'm putting it back in your hands today.
All of the glory.
I want our worship team to join us in the altar right now. Would you lift your hands all over this house together? Could we do this all over this house? Don't look around. Don't talk to anybody. Don't sing the song that's being sung. But would you lift your hands and cry out unto the Lord? God, I cannot go back where you've taken me from. I cannot go back to the place you've rescued me from. I need you to strengthen my body today. Strengthen my mind today. God, I need you to rescue me. God, I need you to help me. I need to preach a message that will encourage others. My life needs to bring glory to God. My life needs to bring honor unto the Lord. My life needs to encourage somebody. Come on, would you cry out to him? Would you praise him right now? Would you magnify him? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, glory, glory. I don't want to say glory. I want my life to bring you glory. Hallelujah.